Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. We pray that you'll be encouraged with the message today.
Amen. It's amazing that we thought by the time we come close to August, it's going to begin to get warmer, but it's still cold. And we praise God. Amen. So I would like to welcome you to church in a special way this morning. I'll be finishing the message I started some months ago now. I think there's been some 2 weeks, 3 weeks in between because I was on the road, so we couldn't finish. But now we just want to wrap up and finish on this message. And I believe the Lord will do something in our lives. Amen. How to discern God-given opportunities. How to discern God-given opportunities. Today we are looking at part 5, which is also the final part. But before we begin, let's just pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we just want to thank and bless your holy name this morning. You are worthy of praise. You are worthy of honor. And thank you for your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In a special way, Mr. Yoshadai, welcome back home briefly. It's nice to have you home. I can't see anyone else who's here for the first time. Okay. First Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. That's what we're going to look at. Okay. The Bible says, in verse 32, of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Amen. Amen. So, we started talking about how to discern God-given opportunities from this chapter of the Bible. And it was a time when David was in Hebron, and the Bible tells us that there was an army, and we are told about the army that David had. But in all that, whilst there is a mention about people who could keep a battle formation, people that had been set apart to actually anoint, to actually say, okay, this is the time for David to sit on the throne, the Bible tells us that there was a group of people amongst them whom the Bible calls the sons of Issachar. And the sons of Issachar, there's one thing that the Bible tells us. It says that they understood the times. And because they understood the times, they were able to tell Israel what Israel needed to do at that time. The Bible says ought to do. So exactly what Israel had to do at that specific time. So the latter part of that scripture says, because of this fact that they were able to tell Israel, this is what we need to do right now, all their brethren were at their command. Hallelujah. And I've said, in our lives, If we were just able to know that at this point where I am, this is what I need to do, our lives would have turned completely different from the way they are right now. Hallelujah. I just want you to imagine that you are 14 years old, you know exactly what you need to do at that time. By the time you are 20, you know exactly what you need to do at that time. By the time you are 51, you know exactly what you need to do at that time. You'd be amazed what would happen in your life. Hallelujah. Now, the temptation that we're going to have in our lives, today I'll be talking about something a bit different from what I've covered all this time. But the temptation that we are going to have in our lives, which we face all the time, is sometimes we are tempted to take each and every opportunity that comes our way. Because the way life is, you're going to face so many, I call them unending opportunities. There'll be loads and loads and loads of opportunities. And sometimes you can actually put yourself under pressure that anything that comes, you want to jump onto it. And you don't have any clear focus on what you need to do. I have been like that in my life. So I'm trying to teach you something that is so practical. And because of that, I have actually ended up sometimes wasting a lot of my time, wasting a lot of resources, being all over the place when I could have said no to some opportunities that looked very good. There's a guy, he died now, but his name was Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs says in their company, Apple, one of the things that they had to do is they were proud of the 1,000 things they had to say no to in order to focus on one thing. And those 1,000 things were equally very, very, very good. But they had to have focus. Hallelujah. So today I'll be talking about when to say no when an opportunity presents itself to you. Hallelujah. When do you have to say no? Because you have to learn to say no. You cannot take each and every opportunity that comes your way. You are going to be all over the place. You are not going to make any progress. You'll just be going round and round and round in circles. Hallelujah. Not all opportunities, as I said earlier on, are from God. Hallelujah. Sometimes there are good reasons to say no and pass on an opportunity, because that opportunity might actually be a trap. So you have to, that's why discernment, I've been talking about discernment. You have to get to the point whereby you say, this one, we are not jumping on it. Interestingly, sometimes it comes with age. Sometimes it comes with age. That eventually as you grow, you realize, I don't have all the energy, I cannot be in all the places, I cannot do everything else, I just need to be able to focus and focus on one thing. Hallelujah. So, discernment. I want us to operate in this spirit of the sons of Issachar. So, number one, when do you have to say no to an opportunity, even though an opportunity has presented itself? And especially in the time that we are living in right now, I think in all honesty, the times are hard, and people are looking for all sorts of opportunities to at least make a bit of money. I remember the other day I went to the barber shop, and not the guy who normally cuts my hair, but the guy was there, one of his friends. So I was asking him, how are you? And he says, I'll tell you what he said in Jijewa.
That
was his response. Like the country right now is just, it seems like it's tilting. That was the response they gave me. So when a situation like that, you can easily lose focus in life. You can be tempted to jump on each and everything that comes your way. And in the process, miss God. Hallelujah. And one of the things I should say right now, even before I come to this point number one, is don't do things because of pressure. Don't do things because of pressure. You should know what is it you want to do, why you want to do what you have to do. The how might change. And that's what we'll talk about. So number one, when to say no, when an opportunity presents itself, number one is when that opportunity is one among many. That opportunity might be one among many opportunities. Among too many opportunities. What do I mean? In life, what is going to happen in your life is that you're going to experience many, many opportunities. And if we can speak honestly today, you're going to see that there have been some opportunities you have missed in life, and there's some opportunities that you have taken advantage of in life, and your life eventually progresses. And some of the things that you missed in life, actually, at that time, you beat yourself too much, but you look back today, you actually say, it's good I didn't take that opportunity. Hallelujah. So the question you need to ask yourself, what do I mean that that opportunity might be one too many? This is the question you should ask yourself. At this stage I am in my life, how full is my plate? How full is my plate? Is my life already overwhelmed? Do I have already too many things that I need to do? And when I add this one more opportunity, if I grab this one more opportunity to my life or to my family, is it going to send me over the edge? Will it just completely send me over the edge? Or I can take this one on board as well? Because you cannot be all over the place. Hallelujah. We tend to think, as human beings, this is how we think. We tend to think that the busier we become, the more productive we are, and the more God is going to be pleased with us. You know that? That's exactly how we think. So when people ask, I'm really busy, and we say it to impress people. I'm really busy. And people are like, anzatu ndezi kukwenderani. Pamene palibe chimene chikuyenda. Ndikunama mimi. Palibe chimene chikuyenda, but you just want to impress people that you are too busy and you don't have time for anything right now. You kutamanga. Ndiri busy. It's just one among, and actually you ask yourself, what am I really busy about? You discover that you are just busy about being busy. There's nothing at all. And you think I'm being productive. I'm being productive. God must be very, very pleased with me. There's one thing that God actually requires of us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. You should ask yourself about this. Matthew 22. Amen. Matthew 22, verse 37. This is what the Bible says. In verse 37, it says, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In verse 38, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments
hang all the law and the prophets. So God is saying, this thing is what has to apply in your life. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's what God requires of us. So when things are coming, you need to ask yourself and say, Lord, it is my prayer that you help me prioritize people over productivity. You help me to value what you value most. If I take this thing, is it going to make me to love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind? Or will this thing take me away from you? It's the same thing in ministry. Sometimes you actually think, oh, because I'm doing a lot, God is pleased. And sometimes actually he is not. Hallelujah. As you seek the Lord, what will happen is, as you seek him first, in Matthew chapter 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I want to break that scripture a little bit more today. Because at the beginning in verse 32, verse 31, 32, it begins to talk about the things that people seek after. So it talks about food, it talks about all these other things. And then it adds and it says, these things people of the world sweat after. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 31. And it's interesting what the Bible says there. Therefore, do not worry. How many of us have been worried before? Even some of you woke up, when you were waking up this morning, you were already worried. As soon as you woke up, you were already worried. So I don't need to describe what worry is like. So he says, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The people can come up with plans. They come up with all sorts of things in order just to sort out these three things. What to eat, what to wear, what to drink. But God says, you know what? I already know that you need this. I want to tell you one thing. That thing which you think you need, God knows that you need. That thing which you think, if you don't have it, you are going to die. God knows that. And God is saying, you know what? All I want you to do is seek me. Seek me. Seek first my kingdom. Seek me. And these things, you will not sweat for them. I'm going to add them to you. So you have to seek God first. Seek his kingdom. And what God is going to do is that he is going to cause your needs to be met within his perfect will, within his perfect provision, and within his perfect timing. I will talk later on. There's a statement I have put in the preaching this morning. As I was praying this morning, I can tell you right away now. This morning God spoke to me and he says, there's nothing like an answered prayer. He says, no. What you say is wrong. So I'll tell you. He says there is nothing called an answered prayer for sincere children. I'll tell you. Amen? I just want you to pay attention. I'll tell you. The thing is this, that God is not going to lead you toward an opportunity that will cause you to give less time and give the birth to the priority commitments of your life. I'll give you quickly what are supposed to be your priorities in life. Number one, God. Those of you who are married, number two, your marriage. Number three, your family. Number four, your health. And you can carry on. The best way to explain it is this thing. Why I'm saying God first, after second, and then everything else last. It's very simple. I said it before in church. Your relationship with God matters. But what I have seen is anything else in life, you can actually delegate. You can't delegate, obviously, being a father. You can't delegate being a wife. You can't delegate being a husband. And when I ask people in life, sometimes I ask people a very simple question. You went to the doctor, and the doctor told you you only have 1 week to live, 1 month to live. How are you going to spend your time? Always the answer is, I'm going to make things right with God, and I'll do everything possible to make sure that when I am gone, my family shouldn't suffer. And then they don't talk about their job or anything else. And I always say, so are you waiting for the doctor to tell you that you only have 1 week to live in order for you to make things right with God? And are you waiting for 1 week to leave or 1 month to leave in order for you to do everything possible to make sure that you leave your family in a good place? So, your relationship with God matters most. That's why the Bible says you are not your own. Hallelujah. Your relationship with God matters most. And then after that, your marriage. Your wife, your husband, your family. These are the things that really matter most to us. Amen? These are the things that really matter. Sometimes we think it's our friends and our colleagues, our acquaintances. To be honest, no. We have got to have priorities in life upside down. Hallelujah. So God will not open a door that would require you to compromise. He won't. He will not give you a door that he will make you to disobey him. He will not open that kind of door. God will not open a door that will contradict his own word. Anything that contradicts God's word, that competes with your commitments to him, to your family, is called a temptation. And God does not tempt us. In James chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. Today you're not giving me scriptures on the screen, right? Are they giving them? Can you give me James chapter 1, 13 to 14? So for me to believe that you're giving them. No, you're giving me his glory. I'm going to wait. This one I'm not reading my Bible. I want to see. The people are saying you are giving them. So I want to see if you are giving indeed. I'll wait. Should I count 1 to 5? I'm putting you under pressure, right? James chapter 1. Uh-huh. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. And he himself tempts no man. You haven't used New KJV, yeah? What happened? There's a problem. Then I'll read in my Bible. I love New King James Version. I think by now everybody knows. James chapter 1, verse 13. Verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when
when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So the Bible is saying, every time that I am tempted because I have been enticed by my own desires. And you're going to find out that there are only three areas where you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted in the area of the flesh. You're going to be tempted in the area of lust of the eyes. You're going to be tempted in things that have to do with the pride of life. Those are the three areas you're going to be tempted in. Flesh, eyes, life, pride of life. You're going to be tempted in those. So the Bible is saying, God does not tempt anyone. And that's why I'm saying, don't do things because of what? Pressure. There are things that you think today, you have lost, people have overtaken you, they have gone ahead of you, you never recover. You will, you'll be amazed how your life is going to turn out. Hallelujah. We put ourselves under too much pressure. And in the process of that, we make some mistakes which can cripple us for life. Hallelujah. So we need to be wise. So when you check that opportunity up against what I've shared there, and you know it's going to take you away from God, it's going to take you away from your family, like family, the marriage. It's going to take you away from all those other things. It will make you not to prioritize God and everything else. You can actually be able to say, you know what? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Number two. The opportunity might represent your desire, but not God's desire. Let me explain. As human beings, it is very natural for us to want whatever pays well, whatever looks comfortable, and whatever doesn't require too much from us. It's human nature. Are we together? And this is what I have heard. I have heard people saying to me, Pastor, this opportunity, this man, this woman, especially man, woman, when people are about to get married. This man is exactly what I asked God for. And then they go, but. The moment they say, but, you know, it's not exactly what they asked God for in prayer. This job is exactly what I asked God for in prayer. But they say I should be the one leading abortion. You know it's not. It can be the same salary, even more. But they say, if I do not sign up to promote gay rights, you know it's not. Are we together? I understand. Today I'm really, you understand? You know what I mean, right? Because I want you to understand this. It can be what you ask God for in prayer. But does it align with God's desires? No, it's everything I ask God for in prayer. But the moment you tell me but, you know it's not. You know it's not. Exactly. Because did you ask him and say, Lord, but then you give me this, it has to be well-paying, it has to be very comfortable. God, in addition to that, we need to make sure that I'll be promoting abortion, I'll be promoting gay rights, I'll be promoting drunkenness, I'll be promoting this. If you did, I'll tell you, it's not God. Because God will not contradict his word. Hallelujah. He says, seek me first.
And as you seek me first, then he speaks in Ephesians 3:20 and he says, I'll do in your life exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond what you think or imagine. Some of us, we will not be able to see God exceeding our imaginations, exceeding our thoughts, because we go ahead of him. Hallelujah. You need to pray and say, Lord, fill my heart with your desires. Ensuring that you take the opportunities you take are based on what God wants rather than what you may want for yourself. For sisters that are not married, sometimes you put yourself under too much pressure because you think you're losing out. Especially sisters. And then you grab anything that looks like a man, only to regret for the rest of your life. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? When you could have just waited a little bit longer, and you say, no, that's the longer way. When you're going through things that we knew you were not supposed to go through. This message, the one I've said now, is specifically to sisters. Please. Calm down. It's okay. It will be fine. Hallelujah. It will be okay. It will be fine. No, everybody, your name is not everybody. No, everybody, all my friends right now have children. Don't worry, you are going to have triplets. Even twins. You know what I'm saying? It happened. It happened. In Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. As you seek God, as you seek his best for you, ask him to plant his desires firmly in your life. Let me read to you Psalm 92, verse 13 to 15. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Bear fruit where? Do you know God can suspend the law of menopause? Do you know that? But it's because we are human beings, we think God is limited the way we are limited. You can give birth at 60. It's possible. How do I know? Go ask Elizabeth in the Bible. He's her husband was who? Mr. Zachariah, they were way beyond childbearing. Because the son to be born had to wait for the coming of Jesus. You understand? There are some things that God will not do in your life today, faith, because he is waiting for something that he has to accomplish 15 years from now, and the person to use is you. And you're busy, God me. Go ask Abraham. Go ask Abraham. How long did Abraham have to wait? 25 years. He was 75, I think, the time God spoke to him. The child came 25 years later. And you check Isaac. How long did Isaac have to wait for the child? You've forgotten. He got married at what age? 40. How long did he have to wait until the child had to come? And how long have you waited? Huh? Why is it nice to quote Abraham waited for 25 years? Isaac waited for 20 years. Isaac got his shield when he was 60 years old. And they were what? So you thought I was dreaming when I said you can be 60 and have twins. Isaac had them, 60. Had twins. There is God not doing anything because you have. Hallelujah. It says they shall be, it says they shall still bear fruit in old age. And he says they shall be fresh and flourishing. Now, see the reason why he is allowing that to happen. He says, to declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And what kind of a testament that people say? He trusted God. He waited upon the Lord. He was not shaken. He made some mistakes, true, but he was not shaken. And the Lord honored his faith. The Lord honored her faith. There are some things that God wants to accomplish in our lives tomorrow. But we, whom he has to use, some things that we have been praying for, he says, not now. Because I want to accomplish this thing tomorrow through you. There's no one else I can use apart from you. There's nothing worse than assuming that God's desires are the same as our desires. They are not. Hallelujah. Or wishing that our desires should be God's desires. It doesn't work like that. Because sometimes we come up with our desires, we pray, then later on, that's the only time we are so accurate in interpreting. Then we interpret and say, this is the Lord. Then you know it's not the Lord. That is Jeremiah 17:9. The Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This is the reason why. Because your heart can deceive you. Because your heart is desperately wicked. Because your heart, you can actually tell yourself a lie and believe it. This is the reason why you need people to speak into your life. Moses needed Jethro to organize God's people into a well-functioning nation. In order for you to become a well-functioning individual, you need people to speak into your life. And say amen. Even though you don't want to say amen, say amen. You need people. Some of the people, they have been there before you got there. There are some things that those who are older in this church have been there before. They have seen it. I marvel when people think that because they're going through it for the at that time in their life, it's the first thing it is happening ever on planet Earth. No. There are others who have been there before. Even if you are desperate, there are others who have been desperate before. You can benefit a lot from those who have gone ahead of you. David needed the sons of Issachar to know what Israel ought to do. Esther needed Mordecai. Balak needed Deborah. Hallelujah. Priscilla and Aquila, they needed Apollos. Hallelujah. Ruth needed what? Naomi. David needed Samuel. Samuel needed Eli. Elisha needed Elijah. Paul needed Barnabas. Timothy needed Paul. Joshua needed Moses. Who do you need? Why do you think you can make all the decisions in your life with that counsel? Solomon says in Proverbs 15:22, he says, without counsel, plans go awry, But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And I have said, you need things in life. You should be able to go and cross-check with how many? 2 or 3. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. In the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, a matter is established. And I said, these ones have to be God-fearing. Don't do what Rehoboam did. Don't say, I know, Pastor, there are some people who seem like everything you want to say, they are like against. There's a reason why I'm a kufusa makuso vuta. Because they want you to check. Have you thought through everything? Hallelujah. And the reason is they don't want you to mess up tomorrow. The greatest pain on planet Earth is the pain of regret. When you know I could have made this decision right if I would have only sought counsel. A lot of us need advice from time to time. Regarding our career, regarding our marriages, regarding our finances, regarding even legal. I'm not a lawyer, so if you need some legal advice, don't come to me because I'm not a lawyer. I'll be able to say, go seek legal advice from so and so. They are Christian lawyers. They are Christian doctors. They are Christian nurses. You come and ask me about family planning, I'll not be able to give you proper answers. But I may say, go seek, get advice from Dr. So-and-so or Sister So-and-so, even. And I'll be able to say, okay, this is what the science says, this is what the Bible says, and this is what we think we should do. Hallelujah. And the Bible, yesterday I was amazed, because the Bible, actually, when you go to Job chapter 12, verse 13, the Bible says, qualifies God. He says, God the Father is a counselor. He says, he has counsel and understanding. And the psalmist, in Psalm 16, verse 7, he says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. In Psalm 33, verse 11, he says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. So God the Father is a counselor. Hallelujah. Jesus, the Son of God, is also a counselor. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, he says, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. God the Holy Spirit is also a counselor. In John 14, verse 16, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. So God the Father is a counselor. Jesus is a counselor. The Holy Spirit is a counselor. So why is it that the Trinity, one of the things they have taken on board is to be able to provide counsel? It's because you need counsel. You are not the wisest person after Adam or the wisest person after Eve. You need counsel in life. Hallelujah. God may not always disclose the answers to us, but we can rest assured that he has the answers, he knows the solutions, he resolves the difficulties, he keeps his promises, and his grace is always sufficient. Amen. So, you need what? Counsel. And I think I've said this more than enough. Kalidweloma tawa kufusira nzeru wa andusirabu. This habit we have of running away and not seeking counsel and not seeking advice, it's not good. Because the challenge is you're going to end up stepping on some really hot coals of fire and then you come back. So now we have to now start sorting out Chirondagai. When we would have gone very, very far if you'd have just come to seek counsel at the very end. Seek counsel. Ask God to give you a heart that is focused on his desires, that is focused on his best for your life. And then, after you've sought counsel, you've looked at all these other things, ask yourself, does this opportunity still exist? Prayer is the key that God has given us to unlock the doors of heaven.
And it's amazing
that here is a door, and here is a key, and all you need to do is use the key to open the door to come in. And we don't want to use that key. Just keep praying. One thing prayer does is that prayer makes a bigger difference than you. Even if some things don't work out the way you thought they would work out. I always tell people this. When I pray about something and something happens, I tell people, I say, just imagine what would have happened if I didn't even pray. Have you heard what I'm saying? When something happens in your life, you need to ask yourself, what would have happened if I didn't pray? If I have prayed and things have turned out like this. Hallelujah. If I have prayed, and you know I have prayed. It's not like you were prayer of kindergarten. But you know I fasted. You know I prayed. I even went into Esther fast. And things have turned out like this. Now, just imagine what would have happened if I didn't fast, if I didn't pray, if I didn't cry before God. I want to tell you, you were going to be gone. Because the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his agenda daily for your life. Daily. The devil's agenda for your life is very simple. Kill, steal, destroy. Every single day. He says, today I'm looking for an opportunity to kill Ajibala. Today I'm looking for an opportunity to steal confidence from Ajibala. Today I'm looking for an opportunity to kill his dreams. I want to destroy his marriage. I don't know how I can say it. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Every single day, the devil looks for an opportunity to kill your children, to destroy your children, to steal your children. Every single day. And you say, hey, Febanja Latu, Kungo Njirolimba, Timapanga Zolongo Soka, Zitizo. Zitizo.
Me, as for me, my career has just gone yam, yam, yam. Ah! Learn to acknowledge that God has been on your side.
Sometimes you don't give God the credit that he deserves.
As for us, ministry, you minister what? Think great things are not going to happen. We praise God. Hallelujah. Keep praying.
It makes a bigger difference in your life. And I know there's somebody who says, but Pastor, me, I have not been praying. But my life has been better.
It's because of the Lord's mercies. They are new every morning.
It's because of the Lord's message that you have been consumed.
Number three.
So I've said, yes, it might line up. That, but it may be your desire, but it's not God's desire. Amen? Number three. The opportunity may be for you a way up, but not God's way up. What do I mean? We, as human beings, are attracted most of the times by opportunities that elevate us. A promotion, higher salary, greater responsibility, more accolades. That's what we look for. Sometimes, these things come as a blessing from God's hand. But, the story changes. If there is pride, very likely. If there is dependence on yourself, all this self-motivation stuff, most of the times when you check a lot of this self-motivation stuff, they talk about self. They really don't put God first. If there is dependence on self, boasting on your behalf, even the feeling that you got there by yourself, very likely not from God. God where?
No, I got here by myself.
Sure. Are you sure? There is only one way that God leads people up. And it's always down. This is what he says. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourself. You don't have to wait for people to humble you because it's called humiliation. You understand? He says, humble yourself. I'll read a few more scriptures. In Psalm 18:35, it says, God's help and his greatness is what makes us great. Don't tell us, me, I'm a very bold person. Me, anything I want to do, it happens. No. If your opportunity has come because you pushed, you shoved people to get to the top, it's likely not. You had to get rid of other people. You know what happens? It happens. I think it happens a lot in politics, whereby people are ready to kill in order for them to be in certain positions. They are ready. And I love the way they say it. It says, that's why it's called Ndali. And I'm not gonna lie. Don't you know there were others who did exactly what you're trying to do today? And this is not what you know. One of the things you should never have as a child of God is the spirit of Abyssalom. You know what Abyssalom was doing? Abyssalom was so funny. When he wanted to take over the kingdom from his father, the Bible says he would go stand at the main gate. So he would stand at that gate. So when people are coming in with cases, he'd say, "What is your issue today?" He says, "Ah, this and this." "Ah, okay, just go and do it. Why?" It's okay. "Don't you think I would make a better king than my father? Don't you think I would make a better king than my father? Don't you think I would make a better king than my father?" And he tried to usurp the power from the father. But you know exactly how he died. He died in the thicket. When his head got stuck. When the father said, "Don't kill the boy." And then Job still went ahead and killed the boy. And Ahimaaz told Job, no, I should be the one to go and deliver the message. And Job says, you don't have a message today. He says, "But please, I should go." He says, you're not going. Then eventually, Job gets the cushion. So the Cushite starts off. He's running to go and tell the king. But David is staying behind. He's in Jerusalem, and he has got the men who are watching. And says, so the guy says, "King, I can see somebody running." Says, "Who is running?" Says, "Looks like it's Ahimaaz." Says, "Ahimaaz is a good man. He has a message." So Ahimaaz runs. Because what Ahimaaz did, after he forced Job, after the Cushite had left, Ahimaaz knew how to run. So he overtook the Cushite. But he had no message. He was the first to arrive in Jerusalem, but he had no message. So he arrives in Jerusalem, and David says, "Okay, so Ahimaaz," he says, "Hey, King, what I saw?" He says, "What did you see?" He says, I saw commotion, but I don't know how it ended. I just saw commotion. He says, "You don't have the message. Stand on the side." The Cushite comes. Because now, later on, you're seeing that he's running and that he's coming.
David says, who is there? He says, no, he says, God, there's a message. So he comes and says, what has happened? He says, the battle was very, very fierce. May God be the enemy who tries to do what he's trying to do. He didn't say, Abyssal man, thank you. He says, may God do so to any man who tries to do what this man tries to do. And immediately, David got the message and he went. Now, some of us, we say, as for me, black is black, white is white. I just say it the way it is. No, it's not all the time you say it the way it is. And this is what you say. You say, no, but if I don't say it the way it is, then I'm lying. No, you're not lying. It's God's wisdom. You understand? It's not all the time you speak anything. If you see somebody else who is ugly, you say, no, they look a bit different. They say, no, he's ugly. She said, but how could he marry such an ugly woman? How could he marry such a very different woman? Even if they are not good looking, say they are good looking. But the truth, I know it in my heart. It's not all the time you say everything. And it's not all the time that you have a message. You're going to be put aside. It's called Ahimaaz syndrome. So Ahimaaz syndrome. It's not all the time you have a message. Hallelujah. Amen. I told you one time that this habit of saying everything I am thinking, there was a time I was telling my boss. Levy remembers the story. I was telling my boss, I was then working in Ghana and I was country director, and I'm telling this story because it didn't end well. So I'll tell my boss everything I'm thinking at that time. Then we came back to Malawi, and the job I was doing here, I didn't like it. And my previous employer was trying to recruit for a country director in Malawi. So he sent me a message. We are trying to recruit for a country director in Malawi. So I said, okay, great. He said, apply. I said, that's not really good. He said, no, apply. So I applied. And they put me to meet the translation. I had to get a flew to the UK, put me in the hotel, did interviews, and then we were told the final few candidates. We were in the final two. So we were told, no, don't leave, because the results will be out tomorrow. So if you are the person we have chosen, we would like to discuss with you how the handovers are going to go, how things are going to progress for you, and so on. So I came to the office, and this is an office that I used to go to. I would be working there. Everybody knew me in that office. So I came, and I found my boss then waiting for me by the door. So he offered me, well, come in my job, I'll come in. And he says, and I'm like, that's when I knew I didn't know. The flight back to Malawi was not enjoyable. They gave me food on the plane. I arrived back in Malawi. I'm still trying to work on my attitude. You had to take, being invited to the UK, being paid for a plane ticket, being staying in a hotel, and to be paid. And I lost it. You may lose some things in life. Because of your attitude. Don't suffer what I'm suffering. It was painful.
I jumped on the train. It was hard. I'll tell you the secret. Matthew 20:26-28. Whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. If you want to make it in life, don't always desire to be the one to be served. If you want to be served first in life, be a slave. If you want to be great in life, be a servant. Let the other people promote you. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he shall lead you. God is interested in our heart formation. He's interested in our character development. He's interested in our growing in the likeness of the character of his Son, Jesus Christ. When the time of lifting has come, the Lord will lift you up in his own way. And his lifting is always up, but the way is down. You have to go down in order for you to lift you up. The other day, when if you see the toilets are not clean, don't say, Ale Marigut, just clean them. He will lift you up. What he sees you do in secret, he promotes you in public. Have you heard what I'm saying? Tumaliza tutuze series hii tunzabereza hapo. Hallelujah. Number 4. When do you have to say no? That opportunity might not stretch. In Hebrews 11:6 it says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Many times, an opportunity from God is the one that allows our faith to be stretched and strengthened. If you don't stretch your muscles from time to time, eventually they're going to die. God has one objective concerning your life, is that you grow in faith and you grow to become like Jesus. And that takes stretching. But the moment you begin, an opportunity comes and say, I can do this one hands down, eyes closed, I don't need even to do anything else. I'll begin to question. But when there is the holy dread of saying, Lord, I can't do this without you. I can't do this without you, my God. I can't do this without your help. Lord, if you are not with me on this one, I'm gone. Very likely, God is there. Hallelujah. The Lord will need to stretch you. And one of the things that the Lord will stretch you, he really stretches quite a lot when you really want to do things for God. Anything that is done without faith, the Bible is called, it's a sin. Hallelujah. It requires faith. And it's a lot of that. And somehow, I'll give you a very good example. Pastor Sunga will agree. I think Brother Martin will agree. Especially, I feel for the praise team and I feel for the talk of the leading profession. Because at least for us who come to preach, it's better. This morning I came and the person leading of intercessions was standing here in front. And there was nobody. And then I walked in and a few others walked in and said, let us pray. I'm like, you have felt what we feel, eh? And then the praise team is beginning to lead worship. And they are one there, the other one there. And I'm like, I don't know how they feel. By the time I was coming to begin to preach, at least in the way, and then he started walking. Yesterday, I watched a preaching by somebody. He says, do you know coming to church late is fun?
says, do you know coming to church is a very clear demonstration of Christ? Why should I get there? And yesterday I had put a notice on the church group. Let's be early to church tomorrow. Church starts at 7. It's a different decision. At 7, there's worship. At least you have come. You have done well. The others will say, it's cold. I'm sleeping. But doing the work of ministry requires faith. This week I've been encouraged quite a lot by people who have said, you know, all of a sudden, since you start manga change. Look at the way the things are unhappy now. And I loved it. It's like, we have now put a girl, found the place, look at the children's church, the way it has gone up. And I was like, finally, others are getting it that it's we, it's not pastor, it's we, it's we, it's we. But where, how did I know that you're going to come? Where were you going to come from? Sometimes I actually want to ask people, what brought you here? How did you come here? You will discover that at the end of the day, it's God. Amen? So, God wants your faith to be stretched. Let us finish the children's church. This week, we will not ask you for money for the finishing off of the building. They are finishing this week. By Friday, they'll get done. But then next week, we need to go to start roofing. Isn't it nice? Let's roof it. Let's put the kids under some really great place. We do tiles, we do whatever. Some of the things I think in my head are very interesting. Brother Emas knows I am so passionate about children. I made him not to do something yesterday. I said, no, we are going to do the one that is for you. Because I'm so passionate. The reason is very simple. A child, because of the innocence of the child, a child can easily be deceived and go a wrong way. For me, to go the point, the root of like, I am backsliding. It means I sat down, I thought, I analyzed, I concluded, I'm backsliding. Not a child. I always joke about, I'm really, really sorry, Tio, and I'm... 10 years ago, Sister Tio was changing Iron Jaw's diapers in the corridor of the Jibu Hotel. If you want to see how old KICC is, look at Iron Jaw after service. That's how old KICC is. Hi Iron Jaw. Stand up. Let people see how old KICC is. This is how old KICC is. 10 years ago, that young lady, the mother there, was changing diapers in the corridors of Bridgeview Hotel. Today, she's a lady. If I ask Tio today, she'll tell me Ayanja cooks at home. Possibly she cleans the house. She's become a young lady. From nowhere, with right in front of our eyes, if we don't invest Christ in her, because not long from now, the boys are going to begin. And if we don't do that, she's going to turn around for every. But she needs to know there is Boaz and there is Bozo. So, hallelujah, Mimi, Jordan, not wrong from now, we need to finish that building. so that our truths get grounded and grounded. There is an agenda to make sure our kids miss Christ. Amen.
Finally, that opportunity might just be a distraction. In my life experience, there are opportunities that have come my way. They looked great. They looked awesome. But as we prayed about them with my wife, we lacked peace. We lacked peace. And I know the other Sunday I said in church, I said, look here, when you are married, when you are a husband, don't do something on your own without consulting your wife. And if you are a wife, don't do something on your own without consulting your husband. And I know it's hard. But there's always a lot of joy when, as a couple, you agree, we are going to do this. Even if it doesn't go the way you want it, you know we are good. Who chose? Who accepted? If our marriages, if husbands and wives were able to agree, we are going to be at peace. I'm telling you, we'll go very far. And when you do that, if there is no peace, there was no reason to have no peace. Apart from that, the Holy Spirit was presented. Amen? And always the reason is because God has something greater down the road. Amen? So now let me finish. Let me tell you why I say in true sense there is nothing called an unanswered prayer. I think we should start saying ungranted prayer or ungranted request. Because no is an answer. Okay, Mimi, when you finish church today, Jordan says, Mommy, give me the car keys, I want to drive. What are you going to say? No. Zadok says, Daddy, I want to drive, I want to drive. What are you going to say, Uncle Martin? No. No, it's not because Jordan is not going to drive someday. It's not because Zach is not going to drive someday. But he is going to drive somewhere down the road when he's mature and he cannot crash the car against the tree. So he can say, no, this is an unanswered prayer. No, it's ungranted. Also, not yet is also an answer. Amen? Not yet is also an answer. Yes is also an answer. So God answers every prayer from the lips of his sincere children. And the answers fall in those three categories. And he does so in his way, in his timing, in his wisdom. We have to be humble enough to trust him, determined enough to wait for him, confident enough to walk by faith rather than by sight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Psalm 16 says the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Psalm 37:18 says the Lord knows the days of the upright. Psalm 94:11 says the Lord knows the thoughts of man. The same is in 1 Corinthians 3:20. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, it says, the Lord knows those who fear him. In 2 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. In Luke 16, 19, it says, God knows our hearts. Psalm 16, Psalm 37, 18, Psalm 94, 11, because I saw other people missed it. 1 Corinthians 3:20. 2 Timothy 2 verse 19, 2 Peter 2 verse 9, and Luke chapter 16 verse 19. Don't rush ahead of God.
for in so doing, you will preclude him from giving you what is good. Anything the Lord gives you as an opportunity in life, ask yourself, is this the very best for me? And wait on him for peace to move forward, for the patience to wait for the better door that's not yet opened. Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. My last words to us as a church today is that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God is about to do, what God will do, and what God will do in and through your life. I want you to trust the Lord, and he shall direct your paths. He's not going to lead you astray. I want you to cling to him. For the best is yet to come, is just down the road. Weigh a lot of the opportunities that come your way against these five things I have said right now. Chances are very high if he doesn't pass any of these. It's not my job. Father, in Jesus' name, we just want to thank and bless you today. We worship you. We give you glory. We give you praise for what you're doing. Great things you've done. Great things you're doing. Great things you will do. To you be the glory, the honor, the power, and the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. Our prayer is that God has spoken to your heart. Be blessed in this week.